Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy
and faithfulness.
Hello, everybody. This is Adam Mixon. I'm here with my colleagues, Mark Ramsey and Beth Daniel. And we're just sitting here talking about what we're seeing and hearing right now in the world of ministry. And I'm fresh off a gathering with a group of bivocational ministers this past weekend. And one thing that I found remarkable was the amount of gratitude and the hopefulness that these folks were expressing. Despite the challenges that accompany this ministry, there is something in them that makes them keep going, that makes them stay. I know we've heard a lot here lately about why people are leaving and why folks are abandoning ministry, but I was struck by the contrast of these people who have just a myriad challenges, demands on their time and energy and resource, and how they continue to approach this work with gratitude. So I guess I want to start off this conversation by asking each of my colleagues, what makes you stay in this work?
Well, thanks, Adam. And I can't wait to hear more about the gathering and the whys of why people are feeling this way, the reasons why people are feeling this way in bi and sometimes tri-vocational ministry. We have heard a lot about the challenges of ministry, and I don't want to diminish them because ministry can be hard. The burdens we carry are hard and can be very frustrating when people have different visions or understandings of where to go, when the institution moves too slow, when it just seems to be bad news in the congregation. So I would be lying if I said there haven't been days that I haven't wanted to quit. You know, a few years ago, there was this story in the news about an air steward who had just had enough at the end of his flight, and he grabbed two beers out of the fridge and went down the chute and ended that day, just quit that day. There have been days when I fantasize about leaving in that kind of way. And I joke about that because I'm guessing I'm not the only one, but I stay. And I don't think it's because I'm a glutton for punishment. It's because I think I have a healthy fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And I believe I've been called to this. And until I've been released from that call, I would just be jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. And when you look around and when you choose to see ministry with gratitude, as you were saying your colleagues did in that group, there's so much good that you can see. A lot of the time, it is what we choose to focus on, what we choose to spend our time and our energy on. And meanwhile, the Spirit is working, and there are good stories, and there's discipleship, and there's faith formation, and there's good news because that's what we're about. And I think a lot of it is, it's a discipline of looking around and having God sightings rather than, oh, what's going to go wrong today?
Yeah, Adam and Beth, I appreciate what both of you are raising here, and I think it is crucial. And I know you said it, and I'll say it again. We have deep empathy for everybody engaged in ministry, no matter where they are. And I've also learned in pastoral care, you know, if someone comes in and says their situation is difficult, there's not another line. Okay, then it's difficult. We receive that. We receive it with grace and empathy and wanting to reach out and support. And what is hard for one person is not maybe as hard for somebody else. And that doesn't matter if it's you who are feeling the pain. So having said that, I love the language you're using of gratitude and of call. It seems to me, and I want to be, again, tender with this, part of what I think lets people like me stay and others I see is not just that I don't feel I can get out because I'm called by God, but I also didn't get in, I think, for false reasons. And I think we're reaching a time, I hope, where the cultural benefit to being a minister, I think, is almost totally flushed out of the system now, finally. There was a recent survey in Forbes magazine that talked about which professions have the highest esteem. Scientists, farmers, and doctors, 83%. Firefighters and teachers, 82%. Nurses, 81%. Members of the military, 80%. Clergy, 37%.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that, and that's just one survey. And some of it is when a scandal hits and it's a scandal about a minister, it plays big and that erodes confidence and things like that. However, there was a time when people got into ministry because they felt called and you got cultural stuff. A former colleague of mine many, many decades ago would wear his collar to restaurants because he knew he'd get a better table. Until 20 years ago, the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team would give a free ticket to any clergy who shows up. Those, for some, were the good old days. I don't want to make light of it, but if we get into this because we're going to get any cultural recognition or benefit, we might as well get out.
Yeah, that's so fascinating to me, the way that we're formed. I think some of us, merely by the accident of birth, have been formed into a particular way. Social location plays a lot here. And I think that Jesus says something about no man sets out to build a tower without first sitting down to count the cost. So I think that to your point, Mark, some of us enter in with an expectation of this sense of deference and prestige and reverence that's attached to the work. And that's really a false sense, right? I love when people start quoting the promises of God and the declarative statements that Jesus makes. And most of the time, they don't quote the one that says, in this world, you will have tribulation. That's a guarantee that we will have it. But be of good cheer. I don't know that we're formed that way. I don't know that we're forming people in that way where we have discipline when our motivation wanes. Because discipline is that stuff that makes you show up, Beth, when you don't feel like it, when you want to have two beers and jump down the chute or whatever. There's something that's been cultivated on the inside that makes you show up even when it doesn't feel good.
Absolutely. And I think we're starting to realize that there's, and thank goodness we're starting to realize here, there's a difference between faith and making disciples and the institutional church. And what's falling apart right now is the institutional church. Faith and the gospel, faith formation, discipleship, the Spirit, none of that is falling away. And I don't mean to give cheap answers to really difficult questions, but I think those of us who are in vocational ministry have been lured into upholding the institutional church rather than upholding the gospel, preaching the gospel. You know, I grew up in a working class area where the church was already falling away in terms of the institutional church. So pastors were big fish in very small ponds and enjoyed that, but it wasn't enticing. The gospel is what's enticing. And I see how, since I've been here for 20 years, it's just following the same pattern. And it's, for those of us in vocational ministry, it is hard and challenging, but it's an incredible opportunity to go back to what the church is meant to be. And that's why, Adam, I love this idea of your group inspiring you with their trivocational, bivocational ministries, because they cannot help but know that it is about the gospel, because the institutional church is not holding them up. They are there because they believe in the gospel and making disciples, and their faith is strong enough that they keep going when they don't have to.
And doubling down on the gospel and going back, Adam, to what you were saying, and Beth, what you amplified, that thing about who sets out to build a tower. The point of that is we can't do it. We can't finish the tower and we can't win the war. God has already accomplished what we can only try to help God with. And that gets, Beth, to what you were saying about the gospel. We have to believe the gospel. It's kind of amazing to me, having been ordained a long time, that in 2023, that is a groundbreaking statement in a podcast. But we actually have to trust the power of the gospel. The other thing I want to suggest is, and this is not to relativize, is it, but it's to try to move the conversation, hopefully in churches everywhere, to a different and better place. I would like every pastor to talk to the teachers, the social workers, first responders in their congregation, and find out about the stress, the pressure, the hours. Talk to Amazon drivers who, you know, are on such a clock that they hardly have time to go to the bathroom when they're making their rounds, or they'll get dinged. Now, that's not to say, oh, well, they're miserable, so we're right with them. It is way past time for the church to lead a conversation about well-being that talks about what is our relationship with faith and work, and how do we understand our work in a different way. And I think that is particularly true in America. What is our relationship with work?
Wow. I have a very close friend, Mark, who left vocational ministry, and he landed in the back of a UPS truck. After several months of being in that UPS truck, he realized that ministry was nowhere near as challenging as he was feeling that it was. Mm-hmm. I love what you said about God has finished this work. He lets us share in it. And I think with that just shifting perspective of this is not what we have to do, but it's what we get to do. This is a privilege that we're invited into this work. God could split the clouds and speak if God so chose to do that. But he chooses to deposit in these jars of clay, these earthen vessels, this treasure. That is a privilege. And I think in some ways that fuels the gratitude when we're having to divide up our time and our day and our energies. This gospel that we get to share is a privilege. It's not nearly the burden that we make it out to be when we become so myopic and we're so disconnected. I was watching something one time, and I'll hush, about a person who was at the top of the food chain, a CEO, and thinking that they were just a regular person until somebody asked them, how much is a gallon of milk? And they were dumbfounded. They had no idea. They were so disconnected from the lived reality of the people that worked for them that they couldn't relate. And in some ways, I think that's what's happened to a lot of us who are in ministry.
I loved your blog post recently on that, Adam, about how it's really important you took the angle for the idea of preaching, that in order to preach well, we have to know who we're preaching to. It has to be contextualized. The gospel and the message is unchanging, but using Paul as the reference, you said how important it was to meet people where they are. And I think that's also the gift of being in community, in a church. That's what our work is supposed to be. We're not supposed to come up with a new shiny thing, the new clever thing, the new program that's going to promise to do this, that, and the other. We're supposed to walk with people. You know, Jesus didn't stand there and say, let me tell you something on a Sunday and then go live it. He said, just follow me. Just come join me. And the whole church, that's what it's meant to be. I don't understand how it's become what it's become, because it's just meant to be a group of broken people recognizing their need for Christ, not pretending to be perfect, quite the opposite, recognizing our need for forgiveness and salvation and a Lord and Savior, and walking together through the broken world. There's nothing that should make us feel this was a work that would make us elevated and important. It is quite the opposite. It is us sharing one another's burdens, caring for one another. And that's the privilege. And when you can just grasp that instead of the stress, which is, I want to make sure we say, there's real stress to being in vocational ministry. I do not want to diminish that at all, because it's hard. Some days are terrible. That idea of the shoot is a real thing. Mm-hmm. But when all of our time is spent on those hard things, it is time for us as leaders to step back and reprioritize what we're supposed to be doing and what we want our church to be.
I think it's nearly impossible for a pastor to be at the bedside of someone near death or dying, or at the baptism of a child, or talking and receiving the horrible news from a parishioner that they've committed a crime and are probably going to go to jail, or, and not feel, yes, it's hard, but what a privilege to actually be trusted in those moments. Mm. I don't think any of us, least of all me, would ever be accused of being Pollyannish or looking at life through rose-colored glasses. But this isn't that. This is, it's a holy calling. And several things come to mind. One of them is, For our colleagues who need to leave the ministry, we need to be gracious, supportive, pray for them, and help them land someplace where they can flourish. And there is no shame to saying, my season of ministry is now over, and my ministry will now have a different form in the world. We need to be supportive. On the other end of that, the time is way past, and frankly, this grew to be an epidemic alongside the pandemic. It is way past time for pastors to stop trying to out-fabulous each other by talking about how wonderful their ministry is, how groundbreaking it is. There is nothing new under the sun. The Bible got there before our pastors did. There's nothing new under the sun. And we need to say that's not it. The three of us could very quickly talk about some of the most amazing ministries we know throughout our network right now. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, we would come up with the 20-person house church alongside the 3,000-member church and the 150-member church that no one has heard of in some rural area alongside a church that's getting more publicity. It is time for us to rejoice with those who rejoice and suffer with those who suffer and keep the gospel front and center in this very, very fragile conversation.
The only thing I would add to that, Mark, is for God's sake, let's stop dogging the people that we're supposed to serve.
Yes, yes.
It's Amen. Them. It's they don't have their priorities, the blah, blah, blah. In my tradition, we sing a song that says, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. And I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's not my mother or my father, but it's me. And pastor, sometimes it is you, which means that you're standing in the need of prayer. When you're feeling frustrated and angry and bitter, there's someone who you can carry those burdens to. Do it, but stop projecting that on the people that you've been gifted to serve. That's abuse, and none of us is called to that.
Amen. Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.